Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Shabbat Turning Congregation on the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is March 12, 2017, or the year 14, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Till praise has sounded down. I'll plant my feet on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. The higher plane that I found. I'll plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay. The doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Yet that my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Forsaken stars set me ahead. Her faith is taught. A joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Up at my feet on higher ground. To scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. God lead me on to higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. I'll plant my feet on higher ground. Idolatry, part 6. Idol worship originated in ancient Babylon. This is by a compilation by Catherine Brunton, February 16, 2005, and we're going to start with page 1. It says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15:9. Exodus 20:1-6. And the Elohim spake all these words, saying, "I am the Yahweh, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Number 4. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Yahweh, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, Number 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. What is an idol? The things we love and esteem more than Elohim's kingdom are our idols. 12 Symbolic Code, number 6 and 7, page 18. There are also idols that walk, 1TG5, page 15. And we see these idols are the kind that speak. They are men. There is no doubt, therefore, that these are ministering brethren who the laity are idolizing. One Time of Greetings, 18:14. Idols also include pagan traditions such as Sunday keeping, Easter, Christmas, baptism, by sprinkling, etc. See 2TG 26:23, Tract 13, One Shepherd's Rod, pages 86, 146, 186, 189, Two Shepherd's Rod, page 99, and 273, and One Timely Greetings of 18. The things we love and esteem more than Elohim's kingdom are identified as being our idols. We see that idols specifically include men, ministering brethren, which the laity idolize. What happens when we cast away our idols? 1TG 33:4-5. But just as soon as all idols are cast aside, yes, as soon as the great revival reformation takes place in the hearts of the people, then the Assyrian, the power that now rules them, shall certainly fall, and Elohim's people shall just as certainly return to the promised land. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 251. When this Reformation begins, the spirit of prayer will actuate every believer and will banish from the church the spirit of discord and strife. Those who have not been living in Christian fellowship will draw close to one another. There will be no confusion because all will be in harmony with the mind of the Spirit. All will pray understandingly the prayer that Yeshua taught his servants, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. Thirteen Symbolic Code 1:29. Isaiah 31:7-8. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. Then when this idolatry is cast away by every man, the Assyrian will fall by the sword. And what's that sword? That's the sword of his mouth. That's the sword of the Spirit. In the time when Elohim pleads for his people to return unto him, and when they do it, then the Assyrian will fall. Not before that. Therefore, we and all Elohim's people must not delay putting away our idols. We had better cast them out and be ready on time to go to the place where it will be so much better than it is in the present world. 2TG 21:13. The names of Balaam are significant of persons possessing selfish characters, such as Balaam's teachers of religion, prophets who had rather curse Israel and lose the opportunity of monetary gain or of some other foolish, selfish promotion that exalts and flatters, such shall then no longer be known by the lordly high and exalted titles. When the church is thus purged of all her idols, then will she find eternal peace. 1 TG 18:14 and 15, Zechariah 13, 1 and 2. In that day, and the day of the great morning, when the great morning takes place, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahweh of the host, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Two things stand out clearly in these verses. Number one, that the house of David must come into existence before the cleansing fountain is open. Number two, that the cleansing began with the cutting off the names of the idols and throwing out of the land the false prophets and the unclean spirit. These idols, along with the prophets and the unclean spirit, shall pass out of the land. TG 5:15-16. They, the men whom the people idolize, and those who idolize them, will run into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. Only those that cast out the idols shall be spared. In these verses, three kinds of idols are mentioned. Number one, works of men's hands. Number two, men that are revered. Number three, gold and the silver that are worshipped. These shall be abolished. There are to be idols no more. For the commandments of Yahweh Elohim is with the blessings by the obedience of the law of the Moses. For the Yahweh command is for the honor of the heavenly Father as the creator of the heavens and earth and all the fullness thereof. Verses 3 and 4. Thou shalt have no other gods before men. Number 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. For the understanding of the scriptures is with the plain command of the having no other gods before the Elohim of the creation of the earth. For the worship of the idols of the wood, stone, and metal is an abomination unto the Creator. For the worship of the man as either a leader of the congregation or otherwise is also an abomination to the Elohim of the heavens. For the scriptures record that when the people turn to the worship of the idols of the heathen, then their blessings were withdrawn and brought on the curse of the Elohim upon the people. For the return of the people unto the true worship of the Elohim brought back their blessings of the former time. For the true holy days is with the celebration of the following days from the scriptures. Number one, seventh day Sabbath. Number two, new moon. Number three, Yahshua's supper. Number four, wave sheaf. Number five, solemn assembly, last day of the feast of the unleavened bread. Number six, Pentecost. Number seven, atonement. Number eight, feast of the tabernacles. Number nine, a solemn assembly. Eighth day of the feast of the tabernacles, Leviticus 23. 3, 5, 6, 8, 11. 16 to 21, 24, 27 to 30, and 34-41. For the rest of the pagan days we are going to study includes the celebration of the starting January 1, New Year's Day, number 2, President's Day, number 3, Valentine's Day, number 4, St. Patrick's Day, number 5, Lent and Easter, number 6, Mother's Day, number 7, Memorial Day, number 8, Father's Day, number 10, 4th of July, number 11, Labor Day, number 12, Halloween, number 13, Thanksgiving Day, number 14, Christmas Day, and also the honor of the so-called great men such as Martin Luther, King, etc., and number 15, Sunday worship, and 16, last but certainly not the least, is a celebration of the individual birthday. For the reading and understanding of this list may be quite a shock to most of the people reading this book, as it is the accepted thing to practice these different celebrations. Genesis 1:31, and Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. For the Yahweh was perfect in all the creation of his hands in the beginning. For in Genesis 6 we read, Genesis 6, 5, 6, and 7, and Elohim saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Isaiah 1:10, 13, 14. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of Elohim, ye people of Gomorrah. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. For the scripture says, you're, which means it is not the chosen of the Yahweh, for the feast of the Yahweh is with the sweet smell in the nostrils of the Father. For the calendar by the Catholic Pope Gregory is with the use of the calendars on the walls of the people homes today. For the calendar of the Jewish nation is also with the altered calendar out of the harmony with the creation week of the earth. Isaiah 4:1. And in that day seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name, to take away our reproach. For the scriptures record the use of the word women as representation of the churches. For the information of the origin of these pagan celebrations, we will turn our attention to the following articles from the history of the record for our time. Chapter 1, New Year's Day, January 1. When does Elohim's year begin? Exodus 12:2 says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. This shall be the first month of the year unto you. The name is Abib, or Nisan, and corresponds to March or April. Note that the context is Passover time. In the spring of our Roman calendar year, see also Exodus 23:15, 34:18, and Deuteronomy 16:1, and Esther 3:7. Genesis 1:14 says the sun and moon would be the signs of the calendar division. One rotation of the earth equals one day. One rotation of the moon around the earth equals one month. One rotation of the earth around the sun equals one year. How does Elohim's calendar work? You can determine that the new moon begins each month by comparing Psalms 81:3 and 1 Chronicles 23:31 with Numbers 10:10, Numbers 28:11, Numbers 29:1, and Leviticus 23:24. Writing for the Radio Church of Yahweh, Kenneth C. Herman, in Yahweh's Sacred Calendar, 1962, said, rather than follow the Elohim-given principles, the Roman calendar begins a new year in the dead of winter, its day in the middle of the night, and its month without reference to the moon. Elohim made his calendar known to Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. Our notion has gone back to observing the very calendar which our ancestors used during their slavery in Egypt. But isn't our calendar of the Christian origin? Does it have the approval of almost all Christian sects? History answers. Our Roman calendar is not Christian in origin. It descends directly from the Egyptians who originated the 12-month year, 365-day system. From Journal of the Calendar, Reform, September 1953, footnote, page 128. And further study brings one to the realization that the entire Roman calendar is of the pagan origin, with the single exception of the seven-day week feature. What happens on New Year's Eve? Drunken orgies, kissing other men's wives, contrary to the seventh command. And if a person is religious, perhaps he goes to watch night services. Watching for what? The celebration begins after dark and reaches its intensity at the midnight. Elohim's day begins at sunset, not midnight. See Genesis 1:5, 8, 13, 19, 23, 31. Read also Leviticus 22:7 and 15:5, which show that sundown commences the new day. The New Year's Day is not celebrated at the right time of day or at the right time of the year to be in agreement with Elohim's calendar. Some historians even say that April Fool's Day used to be a New Year's Day. All Fool's Day. From Encyclopedia of Religion, this would make it closer to the true first day of the year, which is in March or April. Yet there are more important reasons to avoid this celebration. It is known that the New Year's Day dates from pagan Babylonia 2,000 years before the Yeshua. The New Year's festival had originated in Babylon, found their way to Greece, and finally to Rome. The Romans called it Saturnalia, a time of the reveling, drinking bouts, orgies, finally ending in human sacrifice. The first day of the Saturnalia shifted during the lifetime of Rome. It began around the middle of December and continued until January 1st. In its midst was December 25th, the day as the Romans calculated, when the sun was at its lowest ebb. AW counts 4,000 years of Christmas, page 28. Caesar instituted the New Year's festival on January the 1st. He transferred to the 1st of January's Saturnalia from the truth about New Year's by William H. Ellis, Ambassador College reprint number 830. He goes on to show that the New Year's babe is Dionysus or Bacchus, the Greek god of wine, and that the white-haired old man, Father Time, is in reality the Greek god Cronus. The silent reaper anciently reaped little children in horrible episodes of mythical cannibalism. This Greek rite of the human sacrifice was adopted by the ancient Rome, where human sacrifice was practiced at least until 300 A.D. There is nothing in Elohim's word even remotely connected with this type holiday, but beginning so completely foreign under Elohim's instruction. Julius Caesar gave us January 1 as New Year's Day. The ancient Roman calendar was lunar, and began in March in 46 B.C. Julius Caesar asked the astronomer Socinogenes to review the calendar and suggest ways for the improvement. Acting on the suggestion, Caesar ordered the Romans to disregard the moon for calculating their calendars and instituted 12 non-lunar months of 31 and 30 days, except for February, which had 29 days and 30 days every fourth year. He moved the beginning of the year to January 1. The Romans named Quintilis to honor Julius Caesar, giving us July. The next month, Sextilis was renamed August to honor the Emperor Augustus Caesar. Okay, Caesar Augustus moved a day from February to August to make August as long as July. So see, it says Caesar moved a day from February to August to make August as long as July. Says the World Book Encyclopedia. In ancient Rome, the first day of the year was given over to honoring Janus, the god of gates and doors and of beginnings and endings. The month of January was named after this god. Janus had two faces and looked both ahead and backward. On the first day of the year, the Roman people looked back to what had happened during the past year and thought of what the coming year might bring. Romans gave one another presents on New Year's Day. Many persons brought gifts to the Roman emperor and wished him good fortune. At first, the gifts were simply branches of bay and palm trees, but later more expensive presents were given. Catholics follow the Julian calendar, Although for hundreds of years they observed the beginning of the year on March the 25th, which was then the spring equinox, or that's what they call the spring equinox. We know that the spring equinox comes on March the 17th every year, which was and not on January 1st as Julius Caesar had instituted. However, January 1st became a Catholic holiday in 487 A.D. when it was declared the Feast of Circumcision. January 1 is 8 days after December 24th. The World Book Encyclopedia article, New Year's Day, says, at first, parties were not allowed on this day because the pagans had followed that custom. This is gradually changing. Celebrations would be held again. Slight errors in the Julian calendar pushed January 1 and the times of the equinoxes ahead a little bit over the century. Pope Gregory the 8th, in 1582, upon advice of the astronomers, dropped 10 days from October of that year.
Pope Gregory
13th. Okay, let's go back and read that. Pope Gregory the 13th, I said the 8th, in 1582, upon advice of the astronomers, dropped 10 days from October of that year. The day that would have been October the 5th, 1582, became October the 15th, restoring the next equinox to its proper date to correct the Julian calendar regular errors. The Pope decreed that February would have an extra day, 29 instead of 28 days, in centuries that could be divided by 400, such as 1600 and 2000, but not in other century years, such as 17, 18, and 19. Catholics who had followed the Julian calendar now follow the adjusted Julian calendar, called the Gregorian calendar. Pope Gregory returned to observance of January as the beginning of the year. Not until 1752 did the Protestant England and America switch from a March the 25th to a January 1 New Year. Among the pagan customs of the New Year's Day continued today is the tradition of making noise with firecrackers and or gunshots at the beginning of the New Year. From the ancient Babylon, India, China, Russia, and Siam, New Year's noise-making was believed to frighten away evil spirits. New Year's resolutions come from the ancient Roman custom of cleaning out one's chimney on New Year's Day to bring good luck and a fresh start. You can find articles found at giveshare.org, Holy Day, World's Holidays, HTML. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines or commandments of men, Matthew 15:9. Chapter 2, President's Day, Political Holidays. Note that there are more political days than religious days. Perhaps this shows our present inclinations to worship men rather than Elohim. Many of these days are forced on us by the political system. Offices, banks, and schools are closed. Patriotic origins are all but forgotten. Many have turned into just another day to go fishing or watch a favorite game on TV. We should consider the fourth command also the overlooked part, 6 days shall you labor. Many sins result from idleness. Political. Martin Luther King's birthday, Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, May 1st Armed Forces Day, Victoria Day, Flag Day, Canada Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Thanksgiving Day, Canada Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day. Does Elohim frown upon the observance of the political days? Certain national days were observed in Old Testament time. See Esther 9:26-32. Purim, Zechariah 8:19, as special national fast days, and John 10:22, Feast of the Dedication, now known as Hanukkah. These days had nothing to do with Elohim's holy day plan. They were important to Elohim's people because of the miraculous occurrences. These days have the significance for the Jews that are of little or no importance to called and converted Christians. They are like our Independence Day and Thanksgiving. For the days honoring individuals, especially those who founded the country, need to be carefully considered. They border on violations of the first command if carried to the extreme. For those who know the truth of the beginning of the blessings bestowed on the United States, British Commonwealth country, and Western Europe, the real beginning of our heritage goes back to Abraham's obedience. For proof of this, read the United States and Britain in Prophecy by Hubert W. Armstrong.
Herbert W. Armstrong.
For the other political days need to be looked at in the light of the first and second commandments. When you observe them, are you putting another God or idol in place of the true Elohim? Or are you putting a day that stands for godless atheism or humanism? May 1. In place of Elohim's plan, according unto the pastor Peter Peters, writing in Patriot Review, Baal worship in America, May Day, and the Maypole. The most important holiday in Russia is May Day. The Maypole and May Day come from the worship of Astarte and the sacred pole as Asherah. Do you violate the intent of the sixth command when observing the military oriented days? For the United States of America is at the beginning of the Christians coming from the old world for the starting of a new world, for the practicing of the freedom of their worship of the Yahweh safely. Okay, chapter 3, St. Valentine's Day. What's love got to do with it? Elohim is love, 1 John 4:8. And to the surprise of many, Valentine's Day isn't an innocent secular holiday. In fact, the true origins of Valentine's Day has its roots in the occult, namely in the pagan worship of the Baal, the sun god for the religion of the Babylon. Baal worship is the mother of most false religions, and its influence is still felt worldwide, including in today's churches. Lupercalia, the feast of Lupercus, L-E-P-E-R-C-U-S, Lupercus, yeah, it's Lupercus, the mighty wolf hunter, for the ancient Roman celebration of the Lupercalia was held in honor of Lupercus, the deified great hunter of Rome. This celebration also included worship of the goddess of fertility. of Venus. In Roman mythology, this goddess of the fertility and sexual immorality had a son called Cupid. Cupid was said to have attended to her and was given power to cause love to begin and to cease. This celebration was held from the 14th through the 15th of February. Some of the events of this pagan holiday included the choosing of partners by chance, in which teenage girls would place their names into a box. The names were then drawn out by young men. The girl whose name was drawn then became the sexual partner with the man for the upcoming year, beginning in March during the fertility rites of the spring equinox. Rome's Lupercalia more than likely began as part of the Babylonian festival of Om Bolik. Om Bolik celebrates midwinter, the midpoint between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, and the return of the sun beginning February the 2nd. Candles were lit to welcome the sun, and the women began their purification process for the upcoming fertility rites of the spring. For the Catholic Church also adopted this custom from the Irish pagans who served the goddess, whom they called Bridget. The Roman Catholic Church now calls her Saint Bridget, the patron saint of smithcraft, poetry, and healing. They now call Om Bolik the candle mass, in which they celebrate the end of the Virgin Mary's purification. Secular society keeps the tradition of the Groundhog's Day on the 2nd of February, where the presence of the sun represents the continuance of the winter for an additional 6 weeks. Nimrod, Baal, and Ashtoreth, Queen of Heaven, for the Greek called Lupercus, by the name of Pan, the Semites call Pan Baal. Baal, which is mentioned several times in the Bible, is merely another name for Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Genesis 10:8-9. Nimrod was the original Lupercus, and we know that Nimrod was a mighty man who built the great cities, including Babel, Genesis 10:10. Not only was Nimrod the ruler of the Babel, but he was also the high priest of a satanic occult. When Nimrod finally died, the Babylonian mystery religion continued on through his wife, Queen Semiramis. Upon Nimrod's death, she deified him as the sun god. In the various cultures, he later became known as Baal, the great life giver, the god of fire, Balaam, Baal, and Moloch. Later, when Queen Semiramis gave birth to an illegitimate son, she claimed that he was Nimrod's reborn. Nimrod, Tammuz by name, she claimed that he was the promised seed of the Elohim, Genesis 3:15. The Savior Semiramis became the mediator between man and this God. You had to pray through her to reach him. So Nimrod was deified as the God of the sun. Queen Semiramis became the Queen of Heaven, the goddess of the moon and fertility, and Nimrod, Tammuz, became the savior in this satanic Babylonian religion. Another name for Nimrod, Tammuz, was Cupid, which means desire. Queen Semiramis lusted after her son, and soon they were married. As Nimrod, Tammuz grew, the child god became the hero of many women. she desired him. This Cupid provoked so many women to jealousy that the idol of Tammuz was called the idol image of jealousy. Ezekiel 8:5-8:14. And in the Babylonian tongue, the word heart was pronounced Baal, B-A-L. And the depictions of Tammuz, the heart-shaped fruit of the Persia, was often found in his hand. Thus Tammuz became known as the god of the heart. How did this pagan celebration become a Christian tradition? As with most non-biblical customs found in the church today, Lupercalia was simply given a Christian-sounding name and adopted into the Universal Catholic Church. They'd done this to make it easy on the pagan converts who were coming into the new popular Christianity. These pagans were unwilling to give up their satanic rituals, so instead of putting an halt to the growing paganism of the church, the Romans took the approach of blend and incorporate. It was Pope Galaeus who in 496 A.D. changed Lupercalia to St. Valentine's Day. The word Valentine comes from the Latin word Valentus, a name derived from valence, meaning to be mighty strong. The name Valentus was very common in Rome. Pope Galaeus took the stories of several Catholic Valentines and evolved them into one Saint Valentine. This so-called Saint Valentine was now become the patron saint of lovers in the Catholic faith, and the prayers of troubled lovers are under his jurisdiction. Conclusion: Supercalia survives still today under the alias of Valentine's Day. This pagan holiday is still celebrated nearly worldwide by Christians and non-Christians alike, and Nimrod, Tammuz, is still honored as the god of the heart. Even prayers are directed to him by unsuspecting Catholics who foolishly call upon Saint Valentine. But Elohim says, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Yahweh thy Elohim, for every abomination to the Yahweh which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire unto their gods. Deuteronomy 12:30-31. You can call a dog a dove, but it's still a dog. Changing the name of a pagan ritual doesn't change the fact that it is still a pagan ritual. 2 Corinthians 15:16. Ask us, what concord agreement hath Yahshua with Baal? Or what agreement hath the temple of Elohim with idols? None, friends. Elohim is a jealous Elohim, a holy Elohim, and he will not mix with devils. Many would rather keep this Babylonian tradition than to keep the simple commandments of Elohim. Yahshua called the Pharisees, who kept the traditions over the commandments, hypocrites, and said they worshipped him in vain. Mark 7:6-9. The whole world has been deceived by this false religion. Revelation 12:9. Nations and churches alike are falling captive to this mystery, Babylonian, Revelation 17:5. I urge all of you to inquire about the traditions and customs that are handed down unto you. discern them and see if they be of the Elohim or not. If they are not found in the Bible, avoid them. Elohim has said, what thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Deuteronomy 12:32. Just because the name sounds Christian, doesn't mean it is. We have seen how easy it is to take something that is strictly evil and change the name and make it appear good. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of the Yeshua. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according unto their works. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Yahweh Almighty. Okay, end of chapter 3. Chapter 4, Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras, the French for Fat Tuesday, has got quite a few names. While the English used to call it Shrove Tuesday, or later as Pancake Day, to the Germans it is Fastnachtkuchen, or just Fastnacht. Yet, irrespective of this name, game, Mardi Gras, or at least its counterparts, under the different names, is no newcomer in the history of the humanity. Take, for instance, the carnival. This can be regarded as the mother of the Mardi Gras tradition, with the origin embedded in the ancient Rome. However, around the middle of the 2nd century, traditions of the carnival became popular as a way to feast and act wild. Before the somber days of the Lent, this is still celebrated as a splendid festival across South America and in the Catholic countries of Europe. Pre-Christian root, though the timings do vary, different churches have certain schedules set aside for the community jubilation or revelry, and most, if not all, of them have been a celebration of some sort for the changeover of the year. A time of the jubilation at the new year has been traced by anthropologists to prehistoric times and to almost every section of the globe. Often this period was thought to be an intercalary season, that is, a number of days inserted at the year's end to make the lunar calendar coincide with the solar. In a sense, these days were outside time and the ordinary customs and laws held no longer. This is seen in the later Roman feast of the Saturnalia, where masters and slaves exchanged places, and as the note anthropologist Sir James Fraser has observed in the Golden Rule, or in the Golden Bough, feasting that seemed to have especially marked this carnival of antiquity as it went on for 7 days in the streets and public squares and houses of the ancient Rome from the 17th until the 23rd of the December. In the festival of Saturnalia, the Romans also used to burn the effigy of the king of the ancient Saturnalia. The king was an ugly-looking personage of Saturn and the master of revels. He suffered a great death, a real death, in his assumed character when the revels were over. This tradition is present in carnival and the grotesque-looking floats of the Mardi Gras parade even today. Now this apart, the wild and boisterous revelry on the thoroughfares, the colors and costumes, and of course the mass featuring this carnival, all come as part of the pre-Christian tradition of the spring rites. The earliest observance, the first observance of the Mardi Gras celebration and its present resemblance, took place in the Middle Ages, and it was following the period of the Reformation that swept Europe during the 14th and 15th centuries. With reforms, restrictions from many of the ancient Roman Catholic practices were lifted, thus much of the causes were removed, though the customs lingered. The name Fat Tuesday comes from the custom of parading a fat ox through the streets of Paris on Shrove Tuesday. Shrove Tuesday derived its name from the old practice of confessing one's sin on this day in the preparation of the Holy Lenten season. The verb to shrive means to confess oneself and receive absolution. For the three-day period of the Sunday, Monday, and Shrove Tuesday was known as a Shrovetide, following which the period of Lent begins. Mardi Gras in the melting pot. Although Mardi Gras is basically a Catholic holiday, today it is party for everyone here in the United States. This is especially true in New Orleans and other parts of Louisiana, which can be credited for introducing this tradition in the country. Mardi Gras first came to New Orleans through the French culture in the year 1699, when the French explorers celebrated the holiday on the Mississippi River. Over the years, the celebration has witnessed growing national attention, with many parades and parties coming in to add to its hue and flavor, despite the Hispanic invasion later of the celebration has not lost its original French influence. Today, though, it is celebrated with much fanfare as a public holiday only in the southern states of Louisiana, Alabama, and Florida. Its fame gradually extended nationwide, for the French tradition apart, influences of the Germans as well as the British are evident in the day's customs across the country. This brings in us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through by you now today. Well, you wouldn't know that all about a wonderful jar if we had treated you. I've known about his past creation and all that he can do. So, God, there under y'all, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all, and especially when it comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh, especially when it comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. This would not have been the creation of earth if Yah had not come down. He spoke the word all creation heard, and the world should have been around. He spoke the word, and the light appeared. He decided to come the night. And Yah saw that his work was good. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And always, especially when it comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. Well, you climb upon a mountain and you look around. There's a green valley below. There's a moon up above that you're shining with love. There's a peaceful river that flows. There's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all that heaven can stand. And to think that this is just a glimpse of what's awaiting over there. Let heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And you're always busy when it comes again, beloved heavenly light.